Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to start the meeting. Since we only have seven members, we have to start it as a consensus. Do we want to put off the roll call until we have seven, eight?
No, we still need to take roll call.
Okay, please.
Bruce Bastian, Tomas Blanton, Terry Brown.
Here.
Mark Bruner.
Here.
Judy Diversa, Greg Fagan, Michael Fitzpatrick.
Here.
David Flanagan.
Here.
Richard Gonzalez is excused. Glenn Harvey.
Here.
Bill Klein.
Here.
Tino Pena is excused. Andrew Thompson and Myron Newman.
Here.
We do not have a call, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, so on the agenda, we can't adopt it, but is there any additions to the agenda from anybody? All right, we'll move on. Motion approved minutes, we have to wait for that. Comments from the chair? That's you, Ruby.
That's you.
Oh, okay. I don't know if there's any comments.
You or me, you.
CAC, will you have some support?
Sure. So it's a hefty report this time. You have the handout. I'm going to go through a few of these items, and I have a few other things I want to discuss with you that aren't on this laser report. But number one there, the Palm Trans Route Performance Maximization Project. So this has been underway for a while now. Palm Trans is seeking input to improve their system. And so they have a survey that's open until June 14th, and it has the website there where you can submit the survey. And then outside of the table, there's not too many sheets out there, but you'll see a flyer or two, and they have Palm Trans trained us on RPM, and they have some dates here from June 11th to June 14th, which you could also be involved in if you want to get more involved in that. And then if we want to show that people also entered on the CAC.
Yes.
Yeah, Greg and
Tomas. And Greg Fagan. All right, so.
I'm going to keep going.
Why didn't you finish?
So number two, update the Palm Beach County typical sections. So if you know where typical sections are, the basic design of the roadways, depending on how much feet of asphalt they have and what they can fit in there for the lane widths, bicycle lanes, and pavement markings. So Palm Beach County has updated their typical section, and they now include bicycle facilities on the typical sections. So when they go out and resurface a roadway, that would be a new typical section they're using. So you can look at those typical sections on the website, and it has the link there. There's National Dump the Pump Day, which is getting drivers out of their vehicles, drive public transportation, that's on June 21st. And then number four there, Consolidated Rail Infrastructure and Safety Improvements Grant Application. So that's a hefty name there. But basically there's a consolidated grant application for the three counties in our South Florida region here. And those are for other improvements on our corridor. For safety, so those would be like gates and some other types of signage improvements. And then the cities involved in that are asking to have a local match onto that grant. So the cities from our area that will be asked to do a match on that. And this is additional improvements, not with the safety of the fire zone. This is additional safety improvements on those crossings. But it's Palm Beach, Boca Raton, Boynton Beach, Delray Beach, Lake Worth, Lantana, and Palm Beach County. So those, they're all, we're asking for letters to submit to the TPA for their support.
Did you say Palm Beach?
Yes, it is Palm Beach there. I'm not sure which crossing is over there. I'm not sure why they are on that list, but we can check that before we end today if you want.
Thank you.
And then next governing board meeting. It's going to be at Manatee Lagoon over near Riverbury Beach. And that is going to be on the 21st of June. And there's the Boca Raton 2 Tri-Rail Station meeting. It's going to happen on June 20th. And then we have new staff on the TPA, which we're really excited to have on board. They started working, and they might both be here. We have Greg Gabriel and Navio Pontius, who's our summer intern. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
Good afternoon, member of the community. My name is Greg Yegedro. I came from Pompey County Youth Services, and I'm excited to be here at the university here.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Mabiel. I'm a grad student over at Florida State Urban Regional Planning Program. I'm an intern, and I head back in August, so it's a pleasure to be here. Aaron Rose.
Welcome.
We'd like to welcome both of you.
Thank you.
Andrew Thompson just arrived. So why don't we continue our roll call?
No, you don't.
No, I know.
Okay, so now we have.
And I have, I have one other update. This is, I guess we should have started with not so good news first, and then we'll be positive.
What?
So we have one staff member who's leaving us. It's been really helpful. You guys have all worked with before. Kevin, I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, so tomorrow will be my last day with the TPA. I've taken a good opportunity to move over to Lake Worth as their planning and preservation manager. So I'll be starting there later this month. But I truly have enjoyed interacting with you. I know you know Andrew more, but you know I've worked with you on different topics, and it really has been a pleasure, and I've always enjoyed the dialogue that we've had from this committee. And I won't be a stranger. In my new role, there's lots of transportation initiatives that Lake Worth will be undertaking, so they're not fully getting rid of me.
Did you say the city of Lake Worth?
Yes.
They need all the help they
can. Well, thank you for your service here. We're looking forward to doing even better for Lake Worth, because we all recognize.
Thank you.
And then I have two other updates, not on here. Myron sent an email to our staff with two items he wanted to talk about, and we can kind of talk about a little bit here. One of them was with the type of asphalt that we're using on our roadways in the county, and the material that asphalt and how well with runoff and drainage issues. So he was wondering about, because he has an asphalt that he was that you use up in Maryland area that was approved, and he was wondering types of asphalt and surfaces we're using here in our county. So that's something that the staff needs to research a little bit, so we'll reach out to our county engineering and then also FDOT to see what type of materials they're using and how that varies depending on what he's been used to up in Maryland area.
Thanks. Appreciate that. Just a point, it's a layered process in which the top layer is porous, and in a moderate rain, there's no spray, no nothing. I mean, the water just seeps down and drains to the side of the road under the top layer.
So it cuts down on hydroplaning also?
It eliminates hydroplaning, it eliminates tire spray, and it's, they've been using it in Maryland for almost 20 years. And it's really remarkable on the interstate highways. That's the only place I've seen them use it, because of the high speed, the problem of spray at high speeds.
Okay. We'll definitely reach out to our FDOT and also the engineering office and give you some feedback on that. And if I guess based on our research, if there's some type of action we can go forward with if we need to, I guess talk about that at a later date. And then the second item that Myron brought up was he sent an email about a newspaper clipping that was about a transportation issue in the county. And he was wondering, I'm not sure if it was specifically about that issue, but maybe the greater overall issue of how do we respond to those type of comments. So the staff we do get an email from Lex every morning about the transportation. So she peruses all the newspapers. And if there's any transportation-related issues, she'll put that inside to the staff. So that's how we stay educated on the issues. But we don't directly respond to something that might be in the newspaper. The more formal means for the public commenting, there is the online platform where they can go and submit a comment that way, and we would respond to that. And then through all of our other types of public outreach processes and review processes, like the Transportation Improvement Program, or the product priority list, those all have like their formal process. And then when we get public comments from those, we also have a response to those, but then those all get seen by if they were submitted before these meetings, to be seen by the committee meetings, and then also all those are seen by the board. So those are attached to their, what they're voting on in the end. So I'm not sure if that clears it up a little bit. If you had more specifics on that specific
project. No, that's fine. I just also wanted to know whether this particular person had actually gone online and, you know, rather than, in addition to writing it to the newspaper, you know, whether people like who are concerned with things like that know to go online, and they get better response if they go online than they, you know, the newspaper.
We haven't received any comments from that person regarding that one. Yeah. We don't really receive a lot of comments online, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
Yeah. Hopefully the sounding board, hopefully it gets usually through them to their elected officials, and then that gets resonated out of board meetings or to the CAC. Those are our best means, I think, for, unless they come in person. I think those are two issues.
The other was the discrepancy between the TIP and the FDOT numbers.
Yes, yes. So it was brought up, but I think last meeting or two meetings ago, it's been a few times, about the State Road 7 cost estimates. There's a little bit more detail on that, and I guess we could probably form a better answer for you to send out to the group later on. But we'll talk with FDOT, who's here today, after the meeting. It might be a little easier, so we can gather everything, consolidate it, make it a little simpler to understand, and then send it to the CAC.
And the second part of the question is, it appears it's with State Road 7. Is it also with any other projects that people aren't paying quite as much attention to as State Road 7? Where you have a discrepancy between what's in the TIP and what's on the FDOT website.
Sure, and I think I'll, maybe I can try to highlight that and we'll talk about the TIP here in a little bit, but I'll bring that up in the TIP and then we'll try to answer that at that time, because I have a slide that talks about the timeline. Maybe that would be appropriate time.
Perfect. We're going back to adopt the agenda. Does anybody have anything that they want to add to the agenda at this point?
I had a comment about the last agenda item. Or question.
Well,
but
you're not adding something to
the agenda. Not the agenda, but based on the Citizens Advisory Committee liaison report, I wanted to.
Oh, okay.
Well, just to go off of what Myron had asked for information regarding the asphalt or the different type of product to be used, one thing that has always been, I don't know if they have a pet peeve or I've always been curious about, in other countries, when they redo their roads, they pay the developer, I think this is like in Germany, they pay for the road to be improved, but then that developer is guaranteeing it for like 10 years. And any improvements or anything that needs to be done, they're responsible for. And it's my understanding that they put a lot more time and energy into that road, and it costs significantly more up front, but then the longer term durability is there. So, I mean, I don't, maybe as an update, or if while you're researching the new type of product, how long does it last? And also, is there a way that we could be more revolutionary in terms of relooking at, you know, how we build our roads as the best cost-effective way for the future? That was the only comment.
So there's no additions to the agenda. I'd like to have a motion to adopt.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the agenda.
Second. Terry. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I'd like to have a motion. Any changes to the minutes of May 2nd?
I'd like to make a small change.
Sure.
Under item 1D. Instead of ending in a period, I would put a comma and then add the words, an act that prompted the incorporation of item 2A in the meeting agenda. Point is, the subject matter was the abstention of that I made two meetings ago, and because I abstained, it encouraged the staff to put the revision of the CAC bylaws on the agenda. Right? Yeah, I think
not that was the only.
I mean, well, that wasn't specific to that reason. I mean, it was probably an update of the bylaws in general.
Well, I suspect that if I hadn't abstained, it would never have come up, right?
Sure, but it wasn't an issue that came up because of, I mean, you brought it to a forefront, but not a.
Well, that's what I'm,
yeah.
I'm just suggesting.
Okay. Did you know it in this, the minutes? Does that make sense?
So I would just note that the minutes are supposed to be a concise summary of what happened in the meeting. And I know that you noted it during the meeting and you stated it on the record, which we do have a recording of the meeting, but our minutes are not verbatim. They're just a summary. So adding that in, it will, I don't know if it would necessarily be appropriate. It was, we brought, the agenda stated why we brought it before you, which was to add it, update the language to add in about the abstention voting and then updating it to match our branding. So the agenda does state it, which we attach the minutes to that, and if someone wants to go back and listen to our minutes, they are, or listen to the meeting, it is available on our website. But I believe if we add in that other sentence, it would mislead someone into thinking that that was the only reason it was added, and that's incorrect. We updated other items, and our attorney updated other items on the bylaws.
Okay.
You accept the minutes as written?
Yep, I will over to.
Okay. All in favor of accepting the minutes? Do I need a motion to approve?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve.
Yes, sir.
There you'll do. All in favor of accepting and approve the minutes?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We've got comments from the chair. We're down to the general public comments. Is anybody from the general public here? It does not appear to be anybody. Okay. First action item is 2A, motion to recommend approval of the fiscal year 1923. Yes.
I'll be presenting this item. So this is a short presentation that goes more into the summary of the transportation improvement program draft for fiscal year 19-23. And just going to highlight a few major things. And more, these tables are in the executive summary of the document. And so the first few tables. And just to point out here, we have, you know, it's a lot of information to take in. But again, if it's not handled during this meeting, it's something that you catch later on. You can let us know and we try to make that change. We're looking to send a final draft as best as possible to the board before they vote on it. And so we would need it by next week to make sure we get it in the agenda packet, to make sure that final version is best available to them. So if you have any other edits you want us to consider, let us know and email or call us up and we'll try to incorporate those before that final package goes. That goes out usually next Thursday. We also have FDOT here, but if there's any product specifics, we'll try to get those answered here, but if we can't, again, we'll try to follow up with you before it goes to the board. Okay, so here's the timeline that you've all seen before of how the document comes to where we're at today. So the creation of the TIP. So we're currently operating under the 18-22 Transportation Improvement Program. And this is following the state fiscal year, so it starts on July 1st and goes all the way to the next calendar year of June 31st. And the priority, you see this graph here, the TPA priority list is adopted, approved in July 2017. And that's all requires from the upcoming 19-23 TIP. And then we evaluate how much money is available, the costs, and that's in the summer, fall of 2017. Then they release a draft tentative work program, which you all see and review, and that's approved by the board in November of 2017. And then we had the review period really started last month for this TIP, and it's really based off the FDOT work program, snapshot of the FDOT work program. And then the final review is this month, And then final adoption by the board is meant to be for this month as well. And then we'll be operating under the new TIP by July 1st, so next month, starting July 1st. I wanted to point on this slide, and Myron brought this up, and it's been a discussion in the past about change between the FDOT work program, okay, and the TIP, and how that sort of gets alleviated. So there are, like, we'll come to you all with either administrative modifications or amendments sometimes. So FDOT's work program is a continuous document that's always updated. So they're always updating cost estimates throughout the year. So if I went on today, cost estimate might be different than yesterday. And that's because of the project managers in there having updated cost estimates and things changing around. There is, during the time frame, because that's always a continuous evolving document, we wanted to make sure that that document is also consistent with our transportation improvement program and subsequently also the state's transportation improvement program, right? So those all need to be consistent. So how the draft TIP is created is really a snapshot in time of the FDOT work program. And it's usually at the beginning of April is that snapshot. So our TIP is based on the FDOT work program snapshot from beginning of April. And so when you see changes in the FDOT work program that aren't shown in a TIP, depending on how large those changes are, they may not be picked up. But if they're a subsequent really large change to the work program, such as State Road 7, we had amendments that come to you all, those would be amendments. And so they would have to come to us, they may go through the public participation process, and to our committees, and then to the board to approve those amendments. And we have some thresholds that I can't think of on the top of my head, but there's thresholds.
20%.
I'm sorry?
2 million and 20%.
Okay, so it has to be, and 20%? So it has to be 20% increase in that cost of the phase. A phase increase, cost increase of that phase of 20% and $2 million. So if there's anything greater than that, they need to come to us with an amendment that has to be reviewed and approved by you all on the board. So that's sort of how that plays out in that. So again, we'll be operating under fiscal 23 by July 1st. Project sections in the TIP. This is just the major sections that we funnel all these projects in, just for better clarification. We have our TPA priority projects. So those are major TPA projects on our priority list. Local district program, transportation alternatives program, and Sun Trail. So these are all ones that basically are pots of funding that we specifically prioritize. So the funds available to us through based on our population size. So that's where we're allocated those funds. So then there's FDOT priority projects, that there's student enrollment system capacity projects. Those are your major capacity projects like turn lanes, could be in there, or widenings, road widenings on a strategic intermodal system. And then we have other projects, other FDOT and local projects. So this is where we add a lot of the county's projects for informational purposes. So even though there's no federal and state fund attached to those, we put their local projects in there when it comes to bridge rehab or bridge replacement and resurfacing projects. And then we have airports, railroads, and seaports. And then maintenance and operations, so major maintenance projects, and then which are ones that are maintenance projects, such as could be resurfacing, but we have an opportunity to possibly go out and do some other type of improvement on the facility while they're doing the maintenance improvement. So if it's a resurfacing, we're going to see if we can look into ways that we could possibly add bicycle lanes. Operations and maintenance of roadways, so those will be smaller scale. Resurfacings, striping, signage, drainage projects, and then operations and maintenance of transit. So here's an overall summary of the projects in the transportation improvement program for 2019-23. 488 projects total, and that's $2.54 billion over 5 years. There's 299 in the FDOT work program, so that FDOT work program April snapshot, that earlier one I'm talking about, that forms the basis of the TIP, there's $1.99 billion in there. And those are all ones that have the federal and state funding sources attached to those. And then after we get that from DOT, we also include local projects. And we have 189 in there so far. And that's $551 million. The way we come up with that list is we know that Palm Beach County has these major transportation programs. They have their surtax projects, and we put the resurfacing and bridge projects in there from that list. And then they have their five-year road program, which is going to use gas taxes and impact fees. So that's like road widenings, it could be adding turn lanes, intersection improvements. So we put all those projects in there as well. And then we go in, we can, well, we request this from the cities, but we go into their capital improvement program and see if there's any transportation products that we can also add to our TIP. These are all not required to be in there by law, but we add them in there for informational purposes because we want to have a sort of a whole spectrum of what is out there for the transportation system and what's being improved. Updated maps. So you should all have, I think you have all the maps actually. So these are by construction year, fiscal year 19 through 23. And they look like this. They're pretty big. You can get these on the website too. But this goes by construction year, and this is for construction projects. So you're not going to see, there's tons of other projects out there that are starting to gear up at their own initial stages, phases of like PD&E, so their study phase. So there's going to be managed lane studies or interchange studies going on, but they don't have any construction scheduled in the TIP, so they're not going to show up on any of these maps.
And this is the year of the construction begins.
Correct. So this is supposed to be the year of the construction begins for fiscal year. And the way to come up with that is we know when the construction phase is showing up in our TIP, and that forms the basis of it. And for the most part, that's when the construction begins. So that's how we show it. And as you see on the screen here, each project has a little label attached to it, and it gives you the project number that we have in the system in our TIP document, and then a very short description of the project right there. And then if you're trying to figure out more about the project, what you want to do is you have the PDF document open, and you can control F, you know, do the search. And if you search for that project number, you should be able to go right to that page and see more information on that project. And if you are familiar with the F.Work program online, if it is one of those work program projects, and you go to the, you put type that number in online, you'll also find information from the work program, which should be very similar to what we have at TIP. And just an example, so here's all these projects out here. Those look like on fiscal year 19. So those are all local projects right there. So those aren't federal state. It's a good example of ones that we added in the county just to put in there. Here's a pie chart of our different sections in the TIP and the breakdown in a graph format here. You can see percentages. I just wanted to have a few highlights of where our money is sort of being spent. System capacity projects, so the strategic intermodal system capacity projects, 31% of our total funding going towards that. And then the next big bulk of funds here, Owen and Transit, which also includes some bus replacements and other types of replacements and maintenance for those facilities for transit are included in that. O&M roadways and then major maintenance categories. So all those are really maintenance and operations categories, and you can see that's a fair share of the total pie as well. Right? So 21, 12, and 12, you're at 30, 40, 45 right there. So a big portion is being dedicated to that. And they have other FDOT local projects, so a lot of these are the local ones that we put in there, and a few other FDOT projects, such as a few small safety improvements they may have in there for intersection improvements. Our local initiatives program, that's a competitive application process, and we have about $20 million a year for that. Major TPA projects, so this is one, right? So we have 4% showing here of our total, which is fairly low, right? Last month, we might talk about it very briefly because I know we had a short meeting on this topic. But there's a lot of TPA projects, and if you look at the executive summary, which I have a copy. I'm going to show you this. If you're looking at the executive summary, our big tables here are going to be our major TPA products, and it goes to local initiatives and transportation alternatives. But I wanted to show you, like, on the summary breakdown, is there's a lot of funding still left in the needs for the major TPA projects. So we have a lot of projects that we don't have funding for construction yet. Some examples of those, the US 1 corridor study, which we had a presentation on last month, that has $201 million in needs, right? So that's the entire US 1 corridor, so that's a big chunk of funds that could go towards construction. We had at the Tri-Rail station in Boca has some funding needs. We have the Tri-Rail service extension to Jupiter, $107 million right now for a need. So those are big chunks of funding that still hasn't gone to construction yet, or the program for construction in our TPA list. So once those are program for construction, you'd see these probably be a bigger share of the total. Here's that exact same breakdown, but for, you can see by federal, state, and local, right? And then here's the total. And this is in thousands, so don't get confused when you only see $2.5 million. This is actually $2.5 billion. So I was like, messed up my head. But you can see a good, interesting thing to have here is, I wanted to show you was, you can see how much is spent for like assist capacity project, or capacity projects in general, with federal and state revenue, compared to something that's more maintenance. So maintenance is usually more on the state and the locals to do compared to the amount of money you get from the federal government. So you can see maintenance down here, major maintenance, roadways and transit, and you can see, look at all that money for state and local. So that's a larger share is being of those are from federal, from state and local. So when it comes to constructing a facility, you might have some larger funds in the federal category, but when it comes to operations and maintaining facilities, a lot of that's on the state and the locals to do.
That $2.5 billion, just clarify, is that for 1 year or 5 years?
That's 5 year total, correct. 5 year total.
Is that 5 year total?
Yes.
Does that include the needs column?
No, that does not include the needs column. So, for example, what Mr. Harvey has pointed out, the needs column there, maybe could be possible in this amendment later on, this version of TIP, if something drops into fiscal year 2023, but they'll probably wait till the next TIP for something like the major TPA projects, so like maybe one of those major needs next year would make the list, and so that would be a larger jump than that. One of these projects gets funded for construction. Oh, that was it. That was the last slide. So I keep forgetting.
Surprise.
Action item today is recommendations from you all to go to the governing board.
One, I have a couple of questions. One is the turnpike widening from north of Boynton Beach to Lake Worth Road. It says widen from 4 to 6. Is that what's being proposed now? Because at one time they were going to 8 with a couple of express lanes. What is the current proposal for them at this point?
Right now it is from 4 to 6 lanes. Were those going to be turnpike ones coming later on, or that's going to stay at 6 lanes?
That'll be a later amendment. The managed lanes is later on.
Okay.
So for now they're just widening.
To 6?
Yes.
Okay.
You can correct me if I'm wrong.
Because my understanding was, even if they widened it to 8, they were only going to run 6 because of the south and the north.
Right, but they would stripe off those 2 lanes.
Right. So the question is, are they going to build it to 8 and stripe the lanes, or build it to 6 and not build the other 2? I'm just asking what the current proposal is, because I know it changes every once in a while.
I don't have that answer.
The last I heard it was what you're stating.
I mean, I could check with Turnpike. I'm not sure if that's a discussion that's going to be happening for the September meeting too.
Yes, they're going to be coming back in September with their amendments to our long-range plan.
that includes the initial land project. So we're going to have a robust discussion in September.
Okay, that's fine. So, and so I guess with what we're showing here, it is going to be, a TIP is six lanes. What we have in the long-range transportation plan, which has to be consistent with our TIP, is six lanes. So you all will see an amendment in a few months from Turnpike who are going to come in and say, we're going to make this eight lanes. So, okay. But it wouldn't be that specific project. It is going in at six lanes. You are correct that we should get some more clarification for you whether they are building asphalt all the way up for eight.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question. On this map, it shows 2019. It looks like Federal Highway is going to resurface through South Boynton Beach, where it says Woolbride Road, the 437-8341 mm-hmm. project. How much coordination goes on with the city on that? Do they talk about doing anything to the street at the same time? Or?
When it comes to resurfacing projects, that's a good question. I know they're in the FDOT process for the larger scale projects. There are formal outreaches to the cities and meetings with them. I'm not sure specifically for the resurfacing how if that's also something that's coordinated. I'm sure for US-1 it would be. And I know that we've had the US-1 corridor study, and so the consultants were in discussion with that as well with this resurfacing project. So I know there's been some coordination going on between the cities and us and FDOT.
We did public outreach.
As well for that. But there is also a formal sit down with the cities as well. I thought wasn't that a stage in that process? Okay.
So has that already been done with, if it's fiscal year 2019, has that already been done with the city of Boynton for that particular project?
Yes, it should have already gone through that process. But we can follow up with it as well.
I have a question, not related to the TIP particularly, but you did mention in the surtax projects for the county, those have to be completely standalone from any of these other projects, or can they be combined or meshed with other things that are going on? Are they earmarked only for certain independent projects? You said you had 189 already that people are asking for? When you go back to that slide, I think...
Sure. We put them in there for informational purposes. Right now, those are only ones that have local funding attached to it. So whether that be the surtax or whether they be the gas tax or impact fee ones in the county road program. When it comes to these projects like the resurfacing a bridge for the county, a lot of these are just really quick projects where there's not too much going on traditionally what happens. And so basically the contractor's gonna go out there and resurface it just like the same kind of striping that's already out there for the most part.
But are these families getting a piece of the pie also on this county surtax, is that right? Each municipality gets a certain amount of the funds from that tax, am I right?
Yes, you are correct.
I estimate how much they're going to get.
Yes, and those might not be shown in here. Those are all local projects that we might not always have shown in here. So the reason why we put these projects in the first place is for what you're saying, is like we want the opportunity possibly to tack onto these. So for example, if there's a project, a resurfacing project in your jurisdiction, in 2023 or 2022, we still have time to get into that discussion and see if we can make any other improvements and maybe supplement their funding with federal state funds to see if we can get some other type of improvement on there if it's necessary, instead of them just going out and doing a resurfacing project. So it's exactly what you're saying with that.
Well, I think there's other things they can use the money for as long as it's infrastructure within their municipality.
Correct, and we would not show those if it's not transparent.
Right, okay, so that was my question then. If there was a state or county project within a municipality jurisdiction, they could use some of those funds to enhance that, like landscaping or sidewalks or?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But it is their funding that's given to them, and they're depending on that themselves, not through us. We just try to nose our way in there sometimes to try to see if we can provide some other type of improvement.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. I can't recall that much money coming in. This fast per year. It's $500 million a year.
No. Just look, I mean, that's not even
the county gets about $68 million a year right now.
We're not even showing all the transportation products, so there's tons of other city products that we don't get a chance to, we don't have good information on, so we don't get to include them all the way we want to. But we do have a good grasp of the county ones that are funded with that road program. I mean, in itself, the road program is a pretty hefty amount of local county funds. And so is that surtax list. Those are two major programs.
It seems like a lot in 5 years compared to what it's been. Mm. I think we started this in 20 years, only $1 billion less.
And yet the unmet needs of the TPA of priorities is $635 million.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, so
over 200 just to.
So we're 18 months behind.
We have a lot of large interchange products going in, managed lanes, turnpike improvements. So those are huge ticket items. And then those aren't even ones that we have on our priority list, and we have a little of those. So that's a lot of things. So when it comes to our long range transportation plan we're making soon, I mean, the first 10 years of that, going out to 2030 or so, you're probably looking at products that we already know are going to be set aside. You know, so.
What is it? A discussion? Any discussion on these items? On this item? If we have no discussion, can we have enough motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
What?
Aye.
Let's raise hands. I see no. Okay, all in favor, raise your hand, please. Unanimous. What?
I see a no.
No notes. Okay. So it's now recommended to the board. Next item is informational items. The 2045 Strategic Intermodal Assistance Cost Feasible Plan.
Forward.
Yep.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Larry Heimowitz. I'm a planning specialist with FDOT in Fort Lauderdale in District 4. And I'm here today to share information on the District 4 projects that are in the draft strategic intermodal system 2045 cost feasible plan. I'll try to shorten that a little bit during the presentation. I'll just call it the CIS cost feasible plan. This is going to be real exciting stuff, so hold on to your seats, okay? See if this works. Good. Okay. As a background, I'm going to speak first to the planning and programming process for the Strategic Intermodal System, which is the CIS. It's established by the Florida Legislature in 2003. It's a statewide network of high priority, high volume transportation facilities that also include airports, highways, railroads, seaports, the spaceport, and transit. The system enhances Florida's economic competitiveness by focusing state resources on the transportation facilities that are most critical for statewide and interregional travel. As shown on the map, the system is composed of highway, railway, and waterway corridors, hubs such as major airports, seaports, and passenger and freight rail terminals, and highway, railway, and waterway connectors that connect hubs to corridors or one hub to another. This I made a copy for you because I don't expect you to, I didn't know how it would show up on the screen, so I gave you your own copies. The CIS planning and programming process is depicted here. Provides the framework for planning, programming, and implementing transportation projects. The Florida Transportation Plan, the long-range transportation plan for the state, and the CIS policy plan provide policy guidance. Moving to the right, you'll see FDOT produces two long-range statewide CIS plans, the CIS Multimodal Unfunded Needs Plan and the CIS Cost Feasible Plan. Eligible projects in the CIS Needs Plan and from other sources may advance into the CIS Cost Feasible Plan, the CIS Second Five-Year Plan, and ultimately into FDOT's Adopted Work Program, leading to the implementation of the projects. We were here a year ago to review the District 4 projects in the CIS 2045 Multimodal Unfunded Needs Plan with the MPO, or the TPA. The focus today is on the CIS 2045 Cost Feasible Plan, which sets aside funding for CIS highway facilities and funding for the other modes on the CIS. The graphic shows how modal and MPO plans, or TPA plans, relate to the CIS Needs Plan and the CIS Cost Feasible Plan. It also shows how the MPO TIPS and annual project priority lists relate to the CIS 10-year plan. So you can see how there's a collaborative process in the planning stage that feeds the multimodal and funded needs plan, and then that forms the basis for the cost feasible plan as the projects are prioritized and matched with funding. And then they feed the outer year of the 10-year plan, which contains the adopted work program and the second five-year plan. FDOT Central Office kicked off the update of the CIS Cost Feasible Plan from 2040 to 2045 last summer. Each FDOT district identified and prioritized potential CIS highway projects, considering projects remaining in the former 2040 Cost Feasible Plan, projects to advance from the 2045 Needs Plan, MPO priorities, and FDOT priorities. The districts submitted their potential projects to FDOT's central office, which produced the draft cost feasible plan. As part of the process, District 4 coordinated with neighboring FDOT districts and the Turnpike regarding projects on the CIS corridors crossing district lines. Also, last fall, District 4 met with the Palm Beach TPA staff as well as staff from other MPOs in the district to obtain feedback on potential CIS highway projects for the plan. FDOT's adopted work program and the CIS second five-year plan that were mentioned earlier cover the first 10 years of what's called the CIS funding strategy. The CIS cost feasible plan covers the last 17 years of this strategy, which is fiscal year 2029 to 2045 for the 2045 cost feasible plan. The CIS cost feasible plan focuses on designated CIS facilities and types of projects meeting current CIS funding eligibility criteria. Purposes of the update include evaluating CIS needs in light of forecasted future revenues, developing a phased plan for cost feasible improvements for CIS highways, and ensuring consistency with the Florida Transportation Plan goals and CIS policy plan objectives. The seven Florida Transportation Plan goals address safety and security, mobility, economic competitiveness, the environment, and energy conservation, having agile and resilient as well as quality transportation infrastructure, transportation choices, and quality places. The three CIS objectives are interregional connectivity, intermodal connectivity, and economic development. handout, the big handout, is the District 4 highway projects in the draft 2045 cost feasible plan, along with a map showing their locations across the district. There are 27 highway projects on six corridors in the district, with one or more phases from PD&E to construction funded. The corridors are I-95, I-595, US 27, State Road 80, State Road 710, and State Road 714, which is also called Monterey Road in Martin County, at the FEC Railway Corridor. The total for the District 4 projects is $4.47 billion in 2017 dollars. This is out of a statewide total for highway projects of around $30 billion. The 2017 dollars will be inflated to the year of expenditure dollars as part of finalizing the plan. The colors signify time bands. 29 to 2035 is green, 2036 to 2040 is yellow, and 2041 to 2045 is blue. For I-95, the draft plan funds addition of managed lanes north from Linton Boulevard to Blue Heron Boulevard, reflecting findings from the Palm Beach County I-95 managed lanes master plan, a capacity project from south of Indiantown Road to the Palm Beach Martin County line, which goes with other capacity projects on I-95, extending through Martin County to State Road 70 in St. Lucie County, which is carried over from the previous plan. A project to relocate the southbound off-ramp loop at the Belvedere Road interchange. This project supplements safety improvements implemented at the interchange in 2011. For State Road 80, the draft plan funds two capacity projects from the State Road 80 Corridor Action Plan study. All phases from the PD&E to construction for a project from west of Binks Forest Drive to west of Royal Palm Beach Boulevard, which adds two lanes to build eight lanes and includes off-road, pedestrian, and bicycle facilities and transit service improvements. The PD&E design and right-of-way phases for capacity and multimodal improvements extending from west of Royal Palm Beach Boulevard to west of I-95. Potential solutions include an elevated roadway for through traffic and frontage roads for local access, parallel roadway network enhancements, off-road, pedestrian, and bicycle facilities, and transit service improvements. The unfunded construction phase has a cost estimate of $1.58 billion in 2017 dollars. The addition of capacity at the State Road 80, State Road 7 interchange needed beyond what has been and is being provided through interim projects. An ITS project from US 27 to I-95 that is part of a transportation systems management and operations network on CIS facilities. The State Road 710 project is an intersection and TSM&O improvements from Blue Heron Boulevard to Congress Avenue, identified through a PD&E study. And US 27 freight capacity and ITS projects in the plan extend from Cro-Mam Avenue in Miami-Dade through Broward and Palm Beach counties to Evergreen Road in Hendry County. The ITS project is part of a transportation systems management and operations network on CIS facilities. The combined projects are intended to maximize the ability to move freight on the corridor utilizing the latest technology. And I believe, in closing, an important point to make is that the CIS 2045 multimodal unfunded needs plan and the cost feasible plan are important resources for the TPA to consider as it develops its 2045 long-range transportation plan. And I will do my best to answer any questions. Lois Bush is the coordinator who couldn't be here today, so I was filling in for her. I'm happy to answer any, try to answer any questions that you have. Wasn't it fun? Wasn't it exciting?
Everybody's still awake.
I got a question then. So you're dealing with intermodal between hubs, basically.
The system connects logical termini. Some of them are other CIS facilities, like quarters, some are other.
Who considers problems with the first mile, the last mile kind of thing? Like, how after you get to the hub, how do you get to your final destination? Or how do you get to the hub to begin with? You know, get some, whatever it is, drop-off places and extra bike racks and stuff like that. Who considers those issues?
I would think it's the service providers for those modes, working in cooperation with their partners, including us.
When you say system providers, who's that?
At the hub, you'll have other service providers. It could be Tri-Rail, or it could be a Palm Trans hub, or a Greyhound hub. Or it could be the port. So
there's no state policy to increase the use of these corridors by improving how you get to them to begin with?
We're just providing the system throughput capacity to provide its connections. It's not trying to, we're not trying to get more use. We're just providing the connections to serve the hubs. And to move traffic throughout Florida. It's a system.
So when you say traffic, we're pretty much talking about cars. We're not talking
cars,
about
freight, trucks, freight and goods.
But it's still the emphasis is then on roads primarily.
In the seaport and the airports, there's freight and goods that come through those facilities to the intermodal transfer facilities.
Percentage of traffic moved, how much is roads and how much is everything else?
Oh, that year is beyond my expertise to answer here.
Okay.
I apologize.
Okay.
You want the percent of, in terms of?
I guess volume. I'm just trying to figure out, I mean, to me, cars are the most efficient way to move people or best way, you know, energy-wise and all. So I was just wondering if there's any state policy to like switch or skew the percentages.
No.
So it's just the future is just continuation of the present.
It's pretty complicated. I mean, there's revenue projections, there's economic projections that we work with the ports to develop, you know, forecasts and.
So basically, there's no FDOT plan to have people move around differently than they do now.
You mean in terms of shifting out of cars?
Yeah.
We're not targeting to get people out of cars just for the sake of getting people out of cars. I mean, we support all modes, we support transit use, but we promote options, having people access to options so they can make a choice. Okay. Whatever the choice, smartest choice is that works for them.
I guess to ask that question in a different way in terms of coordination, if a particular county or a particular, you know, either Palm Beach County, Broward County, as part of their planning, wanted to emphasize mass transit or other modes of transportation and came up with plans that they would want to do to try and direct that process to get people out of cars. Okay, like we use that for anything to use on the car. That could flow up to the DOT planning process as they sort of coming up from the local level of this is our priority and how does that fit in with your planning process.
Right.
Okay, so it could work and it could come up from the local level rather than down from the state level?
When we plan for these facilities, we don't plan to the exclusion of other modes. We try to incorporate other modes of transportation into these projects. So it's not a one or the other.
Question, Mike, there. I mean, this is a cost feasible plan. On your graph, you show the unfunded, the multimodal unfunded. Let me come back to that, the graph. So what they're talking about
is
the other type. No, keep going back. Your major graph that you had to print out. There it is. Multimodal unfunded needs plan. So does that incorporate the products that they are asking about?
It contains transit projects.
Yes, are there major transit projects in the multi?
So those modal plans are transit, a seaport plan, spaceport, even. All those plans are help to feed the unfunded multimodal needs plan, and then those needs are matched to funding sources.
Any other questions? I'd like to thank you for your fine presentation. Quite interesting. Thank you. All right. What's the next issue? Summary points from the governing board meeting.
Those are in the backup that you all have in your agenda. I'm not sure if we had any major points that I wanted to point out. There was a lengthy discussion about road impact fees, so that's still an ongoing discussion. Our current status of that is, that was the bulk of the discussion actually. It sounds like the board is had, they're going to have the staff try to schedule a larger meeting between all the municipalities and the county. So that's going to take place probably on a date that would otherwise be a board meeting. So like one of those dates that they usually have a board meeting. So try to have it around that time. So it's going to be basically the same stakeholders from the board meeting, but also inviting all those other smaller municipalities to that, to have a larger discussion between everyone. So it should be a pretty big meeting. And we'll give you some more feedback on that when the time comes when we have that scheduled. Oh, and I looked it up. I was wrong on my opening liaison report. Palm Beach was not one of those rail infrastructure safety instruments, which is understandable because there's no rail either. So my notes had it, they didn't have the word county in the table, so that's why it took me off.
Oh, thank you. All right, so there we're at now. We did the summary governing board meeting. Any member comments? Yes, sir.
I got couple of questions, kind of. The quiet zone implementation, I see that from what I read in the newspapers, West Palm Beach and Lake Worth, I think, have implemented quiet zones. Does anybody know the status of the rest of the municipalities involved, and does the TPA have any interaction with them, like it's just all on them to do it, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, I'm just trying to figure out how things work.
Sure. I think we have. We're going to look up those other statuses real quickly for you. We were one of the ones that sort of facilitated a discussion. The staff here at the TPA. We're the ones who sort of helped with the cities figure out what type of improvements they needed at all their different railroad crossings, and then. But it was the cities lead in the end to file for those notices with fire zones. And of course, they did file at different times. But we are looking up to figure out.
Is all the construction for the quiet zones complete from West Palm to the Broward County line?
I remember at the MPO meeting that just happened, Nick mentioned that they're not being implemented sequentially. So we asked for the assistance of cities to help spread the word to the public.
Transportation matters?
Yes.
Yeah. So we have a great newsletter that we publish. I think we sent it to you all, hopefully. So quiet zone status along the FEC rail corridor. West Palm Beach implemented May 14th, Lake Worth the 21st. Boca Raton scheduled for implementation on May 30th. Delray Beach, June 7th. Lantana says the TPA is actively supporting Lantana's notice of establishment filing, and then to be followed by a required 21-day review period. So I guess we don't have an actual date for Lantana yet. Boynton Beach says construction of more recently added supplemental safety measures will be completed within the next 2 to 3 months, after which that notice will be filed, and then it's the 21-day review period. So that means Boynton Beach is another 2 to 3 months off until they have theirs in place. Northern Palm Beach County, TPA will fund and Rhode Island will construct supplemental safety measures to qualify for quiet zone eligibility to coincide when that phase goes on. So they're going to, we're going to be doing the quiet zones for the northern portion of the county later on, once Bright Line starts moving up that way. Does that answer all the?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. And my other comment or question is, I had a brief conversation with the Delaware Beach Mayor Shelley Petrolia, and what I was gathering from her is that there's like a complete streets program for Congress south of Atlantic Avenue, and that her concern is, well, I'll just say my concern because I don't want to speak for her, is that it seems to be geared towards like development for new residential kind of stuff, and in that area in there along Congress is a lot of small businesses and light industrial kind of things, and I'm just wondering, is there a skew in the TPA kind of towards residential concerns and what I'm interested in worried about is good transportation access to small businesses and industrial areas throughout the county. You know, if somebody needs a tractor trailer to unload 10 units of AC units for their AC, you know, little company, how much is that, you know, that kind of efficiency impacts prices and everything throughout the county. So, you know, how much concern is there for all these little warehouse sections getting good access?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess a higher level answer would be, when it comes to complete street design implementation, we have different design considerations and like typical sections depending on the type of roadway and the surrounding land use. So theoretically, from a higher level planning perspective, that would be taken into consideration. So an industrial area would have a different type of complete street aspect compared to a downtown residential area.
Because the only complete streets I've seen, and I just thought, was downtown and residential kind of stuff. So there is another complete streets for industrial areas?
There, yes, and it should have different types of typical sections, maybe wider wider lanes, and some other type of considerations that you have more.
Yeah, I think that complete streets is tied to improving the area around the Triro station. They want to capitalize on the location of the Triro station there to enhance access, give people greater access to that form, that more transportation. So over time, I don't know how that will impact the industrial uses along the corridor, but the goal is to make it, I think, more walkable and to make access to the station more convenient for people who are walking and biking.
So you're saying, so when you said that sounds to me like the goal is to turn that area around Delray's Tri-Rail station as like one of those transportation-oriented design magic half-mile circles where they have high-density residential.
Yeah, that's
what I'm looking for. I was thinking about that half-mile thing. If you walk at 3 miles an hour, half mile is a 10-minute walk. Is that the reason it's a half mile and not 3/4
yeah,
mile?
Yeah. For bus, it's a quarter mile, but for rail stations, they extend it out further.
So there is a plan. So if they do create the magic circle around Del Rey's, where are all those small businesses going to go?
You know, I guess that's the market that's going to determine, you know, what the demand is, whether it's for residential or if there's more demand for industrial there. I haven't heard of any plans to change land uses at this point.
But it sounds like there's a big pressure then when you're saying where the market goes. So it'll be a big development pressure to add high-rise residential in that area.
I think that's the vision, is to bring more high-rise multifamily residential closer to the rail station.
Great, thank you.
Good.
Yeah, that answered my question.
Any other member comments?
I'd like to apologize to the board for being late. I am doing a summer drop-off and pick-off for summer camp with three little granddaughters, and I took off without my phone, and the drop-off is a moving target. So I have to be right up to date. I called Greg to let him know that I had to turn around and run back to Jupiter. So it won't happen again. This is 1 week, and then I don't have
an excuse for you.
I know.
I texted you back, I didn't know your phone.
I went back and got it, but I didn't check for a text. So, and I now have a car that drives itself, so everybody should be relieved or scared. I'm not sure where I fall on the thing, but it's kind of neat. It looks fast.
You're
sitting in the parking lot. I have started a ticket fund. So, anyway, but I apologize for being late. I heard as quickly as I could.
Thank you. Yes. Any other comments of members? Our next meeting is July 11th, which is not the first Wednesday, it's the second.
Right, because of the holiday.
But I mean, is July 11th a Wednesday?
It is. It's the second Wednesday.
Yep, second Wednesday. Okay.
So July 4th.
That would be done. Okay.
Motion to adjourn,
Terry.
Second.
All in favor?
No, it's Terry and Hill, sorry.
Terry and Greg.
Greg, got it.